Water is, for the most part, a transparent resource that is invisible to your average American. Its tangible contributions in our lives are eventually seen when the resource is taken away. Today's segment is part of the series titled, Water is a Many Splendid Thing. Hello, I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water. Paul Jewell remembers his perception of water's value while growing up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Today, his cumulative life experiences have redefined the value of water.
I think we take it for granted. You know, I certainly did. Before I became a county commissioner, before I jumped into the fray, if you will, as far as this highly controversial, extremely emotional subject matter. You know, my experience with water was jumping into the lake, going fishing, you know, opening the tap and taking a drink. That was about the depth of my knowledge. I mean, obviously, I knew the hydrologic cycle. I think we all learned that as children. But other than that, I really didn't have an understanding of the complexity of the issue and the value of water itself. You know, it truly is probably our single biggest economic indicator. Most people don't appreciate that because we have an abundance of it here in the Northwest and certainly in Washington State. I think, you know, most people don't even realize there's a desert in Washington, which is where we are now. Everybody thinks of the Seattle area and vast amounts of water that just fall from the sky on a regular basis. And that is true in that area. And when we talk about a drought there, you know, it's not the same as what we're talking about a drought here. So I guess if you were to put one value on it, I would think respect for the resource.
Paul is a commissioner of Kittitas County in the state of Washington. This scenic county is nestled just east of the Cascade Mountain Range. Located within 100 miles of Seattle, it has become an attractive place to build second homes or even primary homes that blend with the natural setting and quiet surroundings of the forest. Water rose to a critical concern when its availability was cut off to some new uses. The county experienced a building moratorium in 2009 that raised havoc with the business and residents of western county areas. Historically, domestic water uses were allowed to drill a well and extract up to 5,000 gallons per day to run the household. This type of water use allowed the domestic user to not go through a permit process. This has senior water right holders that have obtained permits for their water use up in arms. During recent droughts, individuals with a processed water right dating back as far as 1908 were being told to curtail their water use, while recent exempt water users had no restrictions whatsoever. Hydrogeologic studies of the region have concluded that surface water in creeks, streams, rivers, and lakes are connected with underlying groundwater aquifers, the same aquifers that exempt wells are penetrating. This connection means that exempt wells are diverting water away from properties of senior water right owners.
And if it's all connected and you have a drought, well, then you have a problem. Because you have groundwater users, which are, in most cases, under Western water law, inferior to surface water users as far as priority dates. You have a basin, which has been established as, at least on paper, over-appropriated. And certainly at the very least fully appropriated. I think that's pretty common and accepted knowledge. You have a recent report by the USGS showing connectivity on surface water from groundwater pumpage. And you have a lack of knowledge as to exactly, you know, where gaining and losing reaches in the rivers are and the tributaries, et cetera. And of course, the big gorilla in the room is that you have this water right out there that's been determined by the courts as time immemorial for fish, and it's not quantified. So what that big jumbled mess leads to is a potentially catastrophic event when you're thinking about rural water users who are extracting groundwater for domestic purposes, trying to compete with agricultural interests, number one, both senior and junior during a drought year, and number two, when you're looking at the Yakima Nation's time immemorial rights for water in the river to sustain fish populations during a drought year. So what we're working on is trying to solve that problem.
Solving this type of problem must honor the appropriative doctrine that is the water law of the land out west. When too many people are dipping their straws into the soup, the most recent, youngest water users are told to remove their straws. This is what has happened to the development and new home businesses. From a local economic standpoint, this has caused some real economic damage.
quite obviously, from, you know, the county's point of view, we have a situation that's caused significant economic damage in our county. We all know the housing bubble burst, which, you know, affected dramatically the construction industry. But if we had a low that we would have experienced outside of a water moratorium, well, the low we have now is lower than that. You have a region that has been forced over the years to remake itself economically time after time after time. Coal was a big part of the history of that area and still has its imprints today. Forestry after that was a big part of it. Tourism is now a major component of their economic makeup up there. And another big part of that economic makeup was the construction industry for the last several years. Now, is residential home construction a sustainable industry long term? No, probably not. You know, there's only so much land. There's only so many homes that can be built. There's only so much demand. But I think it was fair to say that enough investment was being made up there and enough changes had been made up there that it would have been an economic driver for quite a while. And it certainly would have recovered faster than it has now without the moratorium. So what that has led is to, you know, even higher unemployment and further degradation of the economic state of that particular region in the county, which doesn't stay there. I mean, it bubbles out and bleeds over to other areas as well. It's affected property values dramatically, in some cases as much as 50%. But that doesn't mean the county collects less money. That just means the burden gets shifted to other residents of the county and they pay more. So these effects ripple across, and they have impacts all the way around to everyone.
Paul's experience as commissioner of Kittitas County has shown that water is a foundational component behind a community's economic health. So what do you think the value of water is in your world? Fundamental to our lives and environment. I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water.